isn't always a bad thing. You know, God has blessed you with gifts and he's blessed you with talents. And when you really put your heart to it and you're good at it, you have some pride about that because you put some time in. Amen. You came to church today on a day where you had every reason, a good excuse to stay home. I think that some of that pride should be inside your spiritual pride. The Holy Spirit inside is happy. But you did something for God today. You did something for your brothers and your sisters. Because you're here today, they're happy to see you. Because Sergio walked in, they're happy to see you. Amen? Because Chuck and Marilyn are here, we're happy to see them. You see how it works together? That's what church is. It's not about, worried about going somewhere else, you know, going downstairs after you pass because you didn't go to church on a Sunday. No, it's because this is where we needed to be, and you're here today. Look how good Deacon Bill looks today. Got a jacket going on, tight, he's styled. It's more exciting to get you there. You all won't tell my bride that we sang that in the wrong key, will you? I come to the garden alone.
Stay standing. She's going to sing 148, 1 in 5, verse 1 in 5 in your hymnal, 148. Take your time, Gene. They're all waiting. No, I mean, take your time. They're not going anywhere. Whenever you, thank you, Marilyn. That's what I meant to say.
Thank you.
plug. We'll figure out. Okay. Can you hand me my mic, Jim? I don't know. I saw the president do that a couple weeks ago. It's all good, amen. Yeah. I could be like Mariah Carey and just walk off down. Listen, I just want to say she's earned the right to walk off stage. She's about the one of the best singers in our time, and she had a bad moment, but we should all be as good as her first before we walk off stage. My God, so. Is this the one doing it? One, two, we'll see. Wise guy, eh? Is that better? No, no, still there. That's all right. You go this in another church and they'll be throwing you out and sending you this. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praying for them giants. Responsive reading, Psalm 51. If anybody's ever read this psalm, you'll know that this psalm is the one that David wrote after he committed adultery. Amen. This is the psalm he wrote after he put Uriah to murder. He had Uriah put in front in the battle, knowing that he would die and that what his intentions were. And then this is where his repentance, this is was his heart. And this is what he said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions." "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me." "Behold your desire, you desire truth in the inward parts and in the hidden parts. You will make me to know wisdom. Praise the Lord. I don't have, is there another page to that, Miss Marilyn? That's it? Okay, praise God. What he says is invaluable for you to, when you talk to God, and especially when you talk at night or when you're asking God to forgive you. See, "I acknowledge my transgressions." God wants that. "My sin is always before me," he is saying. "Against you and you I have sinned." And when he says in the first part, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness," he knows how gracious God is, amen? He knows how God loves and how God forgives. So he's asking, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. He's leaning on God in a big way right there. He's trusting and knowing, but he's using God's word in a sense to say, "God, this is what you promised me, so do this for me according to your word." And when you're praying and talking to God, that is so powerful when you're able to say, "according to your word," amen? That's how important knowing the word of God, and that's when you're reading these psalms and understanding where it's all coming from. Hallelujah. What did you hear last week? You guys were here last week. That's the question that I ask so many people in so many churches. You see somebody went to church, what did the priest say? What did the pastor say? Oh, I don't remember. And that I think is the key to the question.
You see, last week we talked about the fact that we're never alone. Amen? We talked about God has always been with us. Can you say that with me? God has always been with us. See, that's what we heard last week. If we grow to see everything we have comes from God, it builds a personal relationship with Him. That's what we talked about last week. If you see everything that you have
is a gift from God. Every blessing from the day you were 5 until you start to have this personal relationship to see that no matter what happened in your life, God was there with you then and He's there with you now. It all of a sudden opens up a personal relationship. See, all of a sudden everything that you have, whether it be your car, your job, your loved ones, that's, you see, all these gifts, you say, how can I not want to be with the person who has blessed me with all this? Amen? It's that personal relationship. You say, then you say, God got me through pain and sorrow that the world could not have brought us through. Things have happened in our lives. So however, your pain, my pain, it was losing my father and my mother, my brothers. When you were younger, say, well, I don't know how would I do if I ever lost my mother. And then it happened and then you faced it. God got you through that. God got you through every sorrow, every worry. To this day, right here, to January 8th, Elvis Presley's birthday, 2017. So if He got you here through all of that, then you can look back and see that He carried you at times. He walked with you at times. And He blessed you at times to be prosperous. Amen. When you start to see that God, every second, is with you, then you start to say, what am I worried about tomorrow for? What am I thinking about tomorrow for? God's got that taken care of. It might not be tomorrow that every dream I ever had comes to fruition. That might never come, that dream. But He will be with me and He will lift me higher than I could have lifted myself. Are you with me? See, that was last week's message. So many things the world calls impossible, God calls, that's when God works. Amen. God somehow held us up, gave us strength to face, and brought us through those situations. And we took God, I'm telling you from a personal thing, we took God to places, I'm telling you, God didn't want to go. We did things in front of God that He didn't want to see. We said things with our mouth that God didn't want to hear. Amen. We've done that all our lives, but He's been right there with us. He's been right there, sometimes having to hold us closer than we did before. And if we see that everything that we did to this point, God carried us through, what are we even worried about tomorrow for? You see, but that, to me, the important part of that sermon last Sunday was, here it is. There lies the hope for tomorrow. There lies the beginning of hope for tomorrow, and Sergio, your dreams for tomorrow, because if He got you here, He's got something for you tomorrow. So you start to hope, you start to dream, you start to believe in ways that you didn't believe before you really knew that God was with you. Amen? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So these lessons, this time together, these Sundays, are so precious, each lesson making us stronger, building unity, amen, building faith, seeing the hand of God. You look around and you see the hand of God working at Second Congregational. I believe it. I believe it. I don't have to have anybody tell me I see it. But if you see it too, then our dream gets bigger. Amen? We're stronger. Seeing the hand of God not only in our lives, but our friends' lives and our church's life. Amen? And I wasn't kidding before when Sergio walked in. Everybody, were you not happy to see him? That's church. You go to work, they're not that happy to see you there. No, good. You come here and we're all happy, especially on a day like today where each one of us had an excuse. My wife is sick. She hurt her wrist. I could have stayed home, but I hate leaving her, but I had to be here. And there was no second thought. My wife said, there wasn't any stay home. I knew I had to be here, but I had an excuse. If I told you my wife was sick, you would have said, oh, the pastor's wife is sick, and you would have left it there, see? But I didn't. We didn't use that. You came here today. And it's not to say that those that didn't, there's something wrong. But I'm just saying what they lost today is so much more. The fact that you came as a sacrifice, and you came with joy. These are the times. These are the sermons. These are the traditions of today that'll get you through tomorrow. Gary and Marcia, we talked last week about some churches. They have pageantry. They have the thing with the essence. And they talk and they do all these different things in church every Sunday. These are traditions. These are pageantries that represent God, but they represent what? What God has done in the past. So you got 500 people, 100 people watching all that, and they're, you know what they're doing? They're talking to their neighbor. What time is it? Where do we got to go? What are we going to do for lunch? Amen? Not that those things are bad. They're not. But what's happening in churches is that's becoming everything, why the people aren't coming back. I truly believe that there's not enough word in the church anymore. There's not enough hope in the church for you today. There's not enough reading this book. and getting this book into your spirit. There's too much pageantry and tradition. They're worried about the traditions. We're building our own traditions right now, 2017. This tradition, you came here today, that's the tradition of your Sunday. You're building the pageantry is, and all these festivals that we're starting is for now. These lessons on Sunday, when you come to a church that's so spirit-filled, these lessons are for today, to get you through. And so what Marilyn and I have come together to do, and I prayed and I said, Marilyn did a great job, thank you for the first one. What we're going to do on Sundays is that following week, Marilyn and I are going to put in the bulletin what we talked about the week before. And what I want you to do, I want you to take that bulletin. I'm praying. I mean, I'll tell you what to do. But I want you to just, you know, take that part of the bulletin and put it in a book somewhere. You got it right here. You could take it and you could put it in a little book on your dresser. You put the date on it. Say, what do we talk? Everything we have is a blessing from God. Once we begin to see our lives guided and blessed by God, then we begin to see God in such a personal way. Amen?
Amen.
Soon we will begin to realize that God has always been there with right up to this moment in time. This time, right now, not 500 years ago, right now. Hallelujah. In this life, we will have trials and troubles and tribulations. Amen? We will need to feel His presence through each battle and feel His presence through each blessing. He got me here. He got you here, and there lies the hope. Those four words, there lies the hope. What are you hoping for? I'm hoping for God to show me another way. I'm hoping for God to open doors. I'm hoping for God to bless me. Where each dream begins and where each prayer begins to answer. It must start with God, and we must open our hearts to put Him first as we look forward to our heart's desires and our plans for the future. Allowing God, allowing who? To lead us to places even higher. Trust me, when I started here 25 years ago, I thought, well, maybe Greg and I, maybe we could play in churches. We'll play Christian music. We'll call churches and see if they want Christian music. Unbeknownst to me, they had bands in every church and everybody was playing. They didn't. But see, God opened, God said, oh, you're interested. God said, okay, you're interested. Okay, now I got you. Now how about you just come to church and I'll let you play in the ministry for a while and you get to know me. Maybe I'll lift you a little higher than just playing in a church for money, trying to get a job playing Christian music at a church. God moved me to places I never expected 25 years ago. So I'm saying that God is going to do that for you because He's still doing it for me. Amen. I haven't stopped. I have heart's desires. I have dreams. I met a man, I told you last week, Gary, 80 years old, 80. He plays the harmonica. And he used to come to this River Glen and he used to work there. And he'd get up and play a couple of songs. And I encouraged him. I said, Henry, you can do this. I'm 75. So I don't care. People love hearing the harmonica. I met him at the mall last Christmas shopping in Waterbury. 80 years old. He looked magnificent. Dressed really nice. Larry, I play, I'm having so much fun. I had to buy new equipment and I'm playing my harmonica and I'm walking down the hallways and I had to hire somebody to come play with me sometimes. He's 80 years old with a new dream on fire for tomorrow. Amen?
Amen.
See, God's got so much more for us than this. But this is pretty good for me. Amen? And this is so wonderful for me. But I know that tomorrow He's got even more. And there's no age limit. Amen? Even the younger kids, I pray, we got to do more. We'll talk about that later. And here's what it says in this bulletin. It says, we are building more than a church. Amen? We are building a home filled with faith, joy, and unity. We are now the first fruits of tomorrow. Today, you are the first fruits for tomorrow, Mary. Tomorrow. You're the first. You're the one that can talk to somebody at the grocery store later. I'm going to tell you that every week. You're the one, Gary, that could talk to somebody at the Home Depot later. Somebody that needs prayer. George Marsh, you missed it, his testimony. Somebody saw him at the 5 CVS. The girl walked up to George Marsh and said, can I pray for you? Can I lay hands on you and pray? It was the day before he went for his eye exam. And George, I'm telling you to George, and I got Dave can attest to this, the George Marsha 5 years ago would have walked away from the woman. He said, of course you can pray for me. And she laid hands on him. And she prayed. It was in her heart. God led her there. And she was faithful. She was faithful enough to say to this man she didn't know, can I pray? And she prayed for him. The next day he went for the eye exam to get the shot to help. And the doctor said, I don't have to give you the shot. The fluid in your eye is not there, so I don't have to give you the shot. And the first thing he thought of was that young girl who prayed for him. You see, she's the first fruits now, and that's who we are, and that's what we're building. And that's why I know it's different. That's why I'm not discouraged. I'm excited. Dave, I know you are too. I'm excited about what I'm seeing here today. Amen? Well, there's not many people. Yes, there is. There's great people in this church today. Great people. Every one of you. Amen? Hallelujah. With God, there is always an answer. Amen? With God, there is always more. There's always hope. The world we live in will never tell you His ways. You know that. Amen? You're not going to hear this on television about His ways. They'll give you all this advice and psychology, but they'll never add God. They'll never give you what you need to really succeed, to really stand up. The world is full of confusion and noise that has power to draw you away from your faith. As simple as it sounds, the practice of going to church is made easier by not allowing anything to interfere with you coming. Let me read that again. As simple as it sounds, the practice of going to church is made easier and easier by not allowing anything to interfere with you coming. This church is your home too. Your presence is felt by others. Your smile is felt by others. That your faith and love for God is felt by others, who then feel a need to be that same comfort for somebody else. That's the testimony. That's what's in the bulletin, and we're going to put that in every week. We're going to put in what we talked about. And if you'll take this piece of paper and you put it in an envelope, you put it in somewhere, and you put it in a book, and put the date on it, and on a Tuesday night, you're wondering, well, what can I read? Well, I'll read what Pastor talked about on Sunday, because it made me feel good. It uplifted. And you read that and say, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I can start tomorrow again. Amen? And then when somebody asks you at Second Congregational, what did your pastor say? You say, you really want to know? Sit down, I'll tell you. Amen? And then God can move. God can move in that person's life. But we can't be afraid. Amen? We got to understand that God has been there with us all this time. The hope lies in that He's always been there. He will be with us. And then we can do more for God. And as we do more for God, it lifts our spirits up. It lifts us up together. Amen? The more people we can talk to, the more people that we draw to God, the people see your spirit. They want to be near you. That's a blessing. Amen? You know what I'm saying? Amen. That's God. Let's pray together. Lord, help us today, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for who you are. Thank you. You've always been there with me. No matter where I've taken you, Father, you have always been there, and you've carried me through the darkest of places, the darkest of times. Where I took you, then I know you wouldn't want to be. You carried me through the sicknesses and the ailments that I felt right up to this day. You've carried me through the loss of my loved ones that I never thought possible. You carried me through. Lord, today my hope starts again. What lies with you, my dreams lie with you, Lord. I pray that this church receive this. Take this message, because it's for today, 2017, January the 8th, to go on forward with dreams. Don't let the dreams fade. There's greater things that you can do, even than you saw. Beautiful your life is today. Whatever your life is, there's greater things tomorrow. There's people you can touch, things you can volunteer for, people you can see where it will change your life, their life, and the people around you. What a blessing to be able to do that. As we see God move in Second Congregational, as we pray for helping people. We pray to let the church grow. Each one of us has a prayer. Each one of us has a voice to be let God hear. We can do that. It starts today. You came to church today. You came to church today when you had every excuse not to. Hallelujah. Praise God, Lord. Thank you for the faith in this church. Help us, Lord. We look up to you to help us bring those people into doors. Help us in our lives. Help us in our jobs and our families, Lord. Help us, Lord. And we will give you the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Miss Jean, would you pray for us? Read something in a This touched me. If it touched you, if you feel it the same way, I just want to read it to you. How many ever you see people talking about God that don't know God, and they're trying to use God's word against you? The people that don't believe in the word, and you wonder how they're getting away with it, or you have people trying to tell you what God is and what God isn't. And I read this as in Psalm 50. I just want to read this to you. Psalm 50 starts with verse 16. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth, seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you? When you saw a thief, you consented with him, and you have been a partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I have kept silent. You thought I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you to pieces and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to show him and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. Amen. God hears those people trying to use God's word against us. Amen. It's funny how people don't want to hear about God when all of a sudden they know a scripture and they want to use it, and they act like they're self-righteous. Amen. I want you to know that I read that and I saw that, and it made me just... made me feel like God is really sees, and he really does know, and he really is listening. Amen. For some reason that touched me. Hallelujah. Again, for the sermon, this will be in next week, but who is great among us? Who? Does wealth make somebody great? No. But that doesn't mean that success is a bad thing. Amen. We got to remember that. Because somebody's wealthy and successful doesn't mean it's a bad thing. You know, because being successful puts one in a position, guess what, to help others. Amen. So if you're wealthy and you have that and you've earned that success, you are in a position to help others. And when you're looking for somebody to help you, you look for somebody higher up. Amen. When you're going for a job, you look for somebody who owns the corporation. Amen. You go to a business, you go to work. Wherever you're going, you're looking for somebody that can help you, that they're in a position. They're not greater than you, but they're in a position where they can help you. So you're always looking up. Amen. So being successful isn't a bad thing. Somebody who builds businesses, hires people to work, that builds families. Somebody who's successful and has wealth and they have businesses, they're actually building other families. They don't even know the families. They're associated with the CEO or whoever owns it. They don't know the families that they're every family, but they know that their business is successful and other people under them are making a living, buying cars, buying houses, having children. So that's it. See, when we want to succeed, we look for help for those who succeed. But who is great among us? Who is great? Who we associate with? Who do you associate? You associate, you want to be with people who are joyful, amen? Anybody around somebody who's always miserable, you don't want to be around them, amen? Not that you say you don't want to be around them. You understand? If somebody's just miserable all the time, you don't really want to spend that much time around them because it does wear off on you. The Bible says that somebody will bring you down. It's easier to bring somebody down, amen? But if you're around somebody joyful or somebody peaceful, how about somebody who lifts you up? No, I'm not saying that you're saying nice things to somebody that's not, you know, tell something that's crazy, that's not true. But we have ability to lift each other up every single day with just a few words of kindness. Amen. And when you start talking that way and you start treating people that way, people start to listen to what you have to say. Amen. When you start treating people that way and lifting them up, they want to be around you. Amen. They want to be, not that you always being nice to them, but they enjoy the company of somebody who's lifting up, somebody who's healing. Amen. Who speaks good things and thinks good things. Are you with me? Who, after we spend time with, we feel better. You want to be around people who make you feel better. Amen. So I say again, who is great among us? There are some of folks who are great among us. And guess what? There's no wealth required. No fame required. Where there is no gain to be nice, but the spirit of love. A lot of times you're nice to somebody thinking that there's something to be gained for it. You see that all the time. Somebody wealthy or politician or some celebrity, you think, oh, I'll be nice, I'll do nice things, and maybe, you know, but there's something to be gained for it. Amen. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about when there's no gain, but you want to help somebody, when you want to lift somebody, when you want to be kind to somebody. Those are the people who are great among us, and I'm looking at a room full of great people. I am looking at a room full of great people. Someone who takes the time to listen. You ever have anybody, I know I got friends here who got stories, and you start to tell them and they don't have time to listen, or they interrupt, or they take and belittle your story, or a million things. But somebody you're around when they got something great happen to them, and they want somebody to listen. You take the time to listen. You become great to them. You become somebody that they remember as being somebody they could talk to, somebody they can trust. Amen? I think that's pretty great to me. Somebody takes time to listen to our troubles without, say that word with me, without offering an opinion. Amen? That's somebody great. Amen? Then you start to think about how many times you wanted to just get something off your chest and you didn't necessarily want an opinion to how to fix it. You kind of knew how to fix it. You just wanted to get off your chest. But you start to talk to somebody right away, they interrupt and they give you the answer. And see, that just kind of gets in the way of peace. Amen? It gets in the way of what we're trying to say here. Where there is no gain but a spirit of love. Hallelujah. Taking the time to listen to our troubles without opinion. Somebody who's willing to share, not financially, but share advice on how they got to where they are. How they got to this position. How they found that job. How they got that help. Amen? Somebody who's willing to give that kind of advice. And that's not an opinion. I'm not the same thing. I got friends here who want to do different things that I've done in my life. And I want to help them. I want to help open doors for them. I want to encourage them. Amen? That's why they come and they ask me. Say, Larry, how do you do this? It's because they know I will encourage them to continue. Amen? I will encourage them and help them open doors. Amen. They have to do the work. They have to do the work because that's required of God. We're required to do all that we can do. Then God opens the doors for us. But these people, great among us. Hallelujah. Someone willing to share their talents or gifts. Making someone else whole. Making someone else shine. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Who is great among us? I think the folks that are great among us are sitting right here today. They don't have to be on TV. They don't have to be in movies. They don't have to be celebrities and rock and roll stars. I think the greatest people that we know today are sitting right in this church right here. Walter, you make my heart happy. You make me smile. That's a gift from God. I love talking to you. That's a gift from God. You're a blessing to me. Not for anything that you can give me except your presence. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. Chuck, when you talk to me about the cars, when we talk about, that's a gift to me. I enjoy seeing your joy. John, having you has been a friend of mine. You're here today. You're great to me. You're great to me. I see faithfulness. Amen. I see great people in this church willing to do great things. But who is great among us? Is the one who brings us to God. When you bring a friend to God, when you bring somebody you met out somewhere and you bring them to God, and you give them a chance to find the hope and the promises that we have today, you give them a chance to know that there is more tomorrow, that if they're on drugs, there's a way through it, that if they're poor, there's a way through it, that if they're sick, there's a way through it, amen? That if they're looking for something, there's an answer, amen? Not just, oh, you'll find it. No, there's an answer because there's people great among us here who want to help them. When you bring somebody to the Word of God and you bring them to your church, you have done more for them than you could have if you gave them $100 a week for the next 10 weeks. You have given them a chance to learn, to grow, to heal, and to heal others. Amen. When you bring somebody to God, you give them a chance to heal their families. How many know that families have problems? How many know that brothers and sisters don't always get along? And cousins and aunts and uncles, they don't get along. Amen. That's part of life. But when you bring people here, when you're great and you bring people here to this church, to this Hope, to any church that preaches the Word, you give them a chance to find a new family, and you give them a chance to heal on the inside. And when they get stronger, Sergio, guess what? They can deal with the family issues in a different way. They can actually heal their family. Say, hey, I got an idea. Don't listen to me. Come listen to God. I have an idea. Don't go it my way. Do it God's way. I have an idea. Let's talk about Jesus and see what plans He might have for us tomorrow. Amen? And every person that you touch, every person that you touch, their life will be changed forever. Forever. Gary, what did you say to me last night that some people say, why didn't I know this sooner? What took me so long? Amen? We're at an age now where we're looking and saying, well, I wish I only knew. But you know what? We got tomorrow to know. Amen? I'm telling you, Marilyn, that there's great people in this church right now. Amen? You got great people in this church wanting to help other people. Wanting to do stuff for other people. Wanting to lift people up. That's great. When you feel good in your heart, what a blessing. What better blessing can you find than feeling good in your heart today? What? What would you give? What more would you give, amen, than feeling good in your heart today? Doing something for God today. Doing something for someone you love today. Your lives today can change. Today, Gene, they can change today. Do something. Just love somebody. And you are. That's why you're great, Gene. That's what makes you great. Because every time people see you, they feel love. They want to hug you and they want to enjoy talking to you because you're great. You don't have to be on TV. You don't have to be there because those people don't know anybody. They don't know us. They know wealth. Let me tell you, wealth isn't great. Wealth doesn't make you great, amen? Power doesn't make you great. It doesn't. And trust me, and I don't know because I don't have that kind of money. But they got problems we don't know about. They got issues we don't want to know about. They're paying for things we don't even care to pay for. They got expenses that we don't even want to know. You know, the Bible says you got all that stuff and you got it here and you got these cars. All of a sudden, Sergio, you start worrying about who's going to rob my car? Who's going to break into my house? Who's going to steal this? Where am I going to put this? I got this painting worth $5 million. Now I got to have it insured. I got to have lights put on it. And I got to have a burglar. I'm telling you, those people... I always say, give me $1 million, come back a year later, I'll tell you how I'm doing. But those people got problems. Amen. Don't think they don't. And I know that we see these people and they're telling us how to live our life. And they're telling us who should be here and what. They always give a lot of advice. I think the best advice that those people can give is tell us how you made it. I see people on TV in the news. I see people all arguing on the news channels. I watch it all the time. I say, why don't you stop arguing with each other and tell us how you got that job on that big cable network? That's a great job. Why don't you go to school and tell those kids in school how you did it? Did somebody give it to you? They would be insulted if you said somebody just, oh, you don't know the work I did to get here, wouldn't it? Why don't you tell us about that? Why don't you teach us things about stuff like that? To help everybody, how you got there, amen? But see here, the greatness. You'll tell everybody how you got here. You'll help somebody today that you don't know. And you'll help them for no reward because it's the thing that your heart tells you to do, amen? You see somebody with a flat tire, I know some of you will pull over. Last week there was a girl that walked in. I know what we talked about. And we're going to do this. Understand, we cannot let God be mocked. People come here to learn the Word of God, to hear the Word of God, we will feed them, amen? They want to come here, we will help them. We cannot help every person who walks through that door because we don't know the truth. But last week somebody came in really late and she was down on her luck and stuff. And somebody said, okay, I can't let you leave without me at least giving you something. Amen? That's what happened. She left here blessed because somebody in this church is great. 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 Say that with me. Great. Marilyn, you're great. We're greater than we realize, and we have the potential to be even greater as a family, as in your lives, with your loved ones, with your wife, with your husband, with your families. The greater that you get with, the closer that you get with God, the more that you trust God and people in your, especially your families. You say, I thought you had this problem or that problem. Say, I got it. I got it. But God's moving. That's behind me. I'm moving forward. They won't know you anymore. I got friends that don't talk to me and they don't know me anymore because I won't go play in that nightclub. I won't go. And that's okay. They still love me. I still love them. But they won't. They're still in that place. Amen. But I'm telling you that people listen. They really do listen to you. And you really are making a difference. We look around and see churches falling apart. And they're falling apart for lots of reasons, but they're falling apart because this isn't being preached. This isn't the most important thing. In this church on Sunday, this is the most important thing right here. What the Word says about God. What the Word says God can do for us. What the Word says we can become. Amen? But I'm telling you right now, and the message for today is, who's great among us? Look around and see how you, see what greatness looks like. Give Him praise, church. Give Him praise. We love you, John. So much more you can do. So much. You can get up and do it. And people behind you will help you. But you can be so great to help others. Amen? You cannot help others until you're standing on your own. Amen? But there's greatness here. Hallelujah.